It's Tuesday, June 25th, and this is the Daily Chirp Podcast. We're bringing you a closer look at one of our top stories along with other important things going on in our community. Today, a local teen has mounted a campaign against the dentist who refused to give him his teeth back after a dental procedure. Before we jump in, some Arizona trivia. Did you know that Jonathan Rausch is an author, journalist, and activist from Arizona? After graduating from Yale, he worked with the Winston-Salem Journal, National Journal, and The Economist. He is now a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and a contributing editor at The Atlantic. Rausch writes on public policy, culture, and economics, with notable books including The Happiness Curve and The Constitution of Knowledge. An openly gay advocate, he supports same-sex marriage and defined himself as a radical incrementalist. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Benson Hospital. Benson Hospital is doing more than treating illnesses. They're building a healthier community through prevention. Access to affordable fruits and vegetables are essential to good health. Their collaboration with Pinnacle Farms and Market on the Move brings more than 12,000 pounds of affordable produce to the community every month. For more information and dates, follow them on Facebook at facebook.com/Benson Hospital. Now our feature story. On the day 18-year-old Samuel Vaughn went to Dr. Ryan Barney's office to have 4 teeth extracted, he fully expected to leave with those teeth in hand. However, things didn't go as planned. Dr. Barney, a dentist practicing since 1999, informed Vaughn that the extracted teeth were considered hazardous materials and could not be taken home. Vaughn and his mother argued that the blood on the teeth was Vaughn's own and he should be allowed to take them. Nonetheless, Dr. Barney was firm in his decision, citing concerns about blood-borne diseases. He stated that the teeth were disposed of in a Sharps container along with other bloodied materials. Dr. Barney emphasized that giving out adult teeth is not a practice he follows. He explained that the potential for blood-borne diseases makes it a risky practice. Despite there being no laws against giving patients their extracted teeth, it is generally frowned upon. According to OSHA's Bloodborne Pathogen Standard, extracted teeth are considered potentially infectious materials. The concern arises from the fact that decayed teeth cannot be fully sterilized of all bacteria, leading some dentists to treat them as infectious clinical waste. Dr. Barney, adhering to this cautious approach, has consistently refused such requests from patients. Vaughn, feeling wronged by this policy, has initiated a campaign against Dr. Barney and his practice. He filed a police report with the Benson Police Department and lodged complaints with the Arizona Attorney General's Office and the Arizona Dental Board. Despite a detective indicating that the case might be civil rather than criminal, Vaughn remains undeterred. Dr. Barney confirmed that the police had contacted him about the matter, and after explaining his policies, they determined there was no case to pursue. However, Vaughn persists in his quest for justice, expressing his frustration over what he perceives as fraud and theft. Vaughn insists that he entered the dentist's office with the expectation of keeping his teeth and left feeling deceived. He plans to pursue further action if his complaints with state agencies do not yield satisfactory results. Vaughn is prepared to take the matter to civil court, firmly believing in his right to his extracted teeth and the principle of the issue. As Vaughn puts it, quote, "Justice isn't perfect, but it's the best thing we have." Thanks for listening. Before we continue, a quick message from our sponsors, Prestige Family Living.
At Prestige Assisted Living at Sierra Vista, we know that the best food comes from the heart. Our dining program, A Taste of Prestige, is crafted by our talented culinary teams and tailored to the nutritional needs of older adults. We use fresh ingredients and local flavors to prepare healthy, mouthwatering meals our residents love. It's one more way we help older adults celebrate life at every age. For more about dining at Prestige Senior Living, visit tasteofprestige.com. Again, that's tasteofprestige.com.
Next, we're excited to share our weekly segment, Best of Preps, brought to you by our friends at Lawley Automotive.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sean Lawley from the Lawley Automotive Group, and we've stocked up on inventory at all of our dealerships. If you've been thinking about a new car, we've got the deal for you on a new Buick, GMC, Chevrolet, Ford, Kia, Hyundai, Honda, Nissan, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. You don't have to go to Tucson or Phoenix to buy a new vehicle. We're your hometown dealer since 1995. We'll beat the big city dealers in price, and our customer service is small-town dealer-friendly. Come into any one of the Lawley dealerships today or shop lawleycars.com and see why nobody beats a Lawley deal. Nobody.
Now, Best of Preps.
Well, it's been a minute, but we are so glad to be back. Welcome back to your favorite segment inside the Daily Chirp podcast. It is time once again for Game of the Week, where we get to highlight the best of preps. We'll talk more about that in just a second. All across Cochise County with the one and only Herald Review Media sports editor Bruce Whetton, who's joining us by phone today. Bruce, the last time you and I were together was at Best of Preps, and boy, what a night it was.
It was a very special night, but I can't tell you how glad I am it's over. I was pleased with overall how everything went. I just wish the attendance by our athletes and our honorees had been a little bit better. To see only a couple of kids show up on stage was kind of disheartening, but every year we schedule this thing, and it always seems that we're always conflicting with something. And this year, we are conflicting with a 7-on-7 passing tournament in Tucson, which several of our teams were at. There was the Keno Baseball League playing games in Tucson, which some of our teams were at. And then a Girls Basketball League playing games in Tucson that same night. And so, I don't know what the magic answer is, but we got to figure out something here, because it'd have been nice to see more of our athletes there to be recognized, Jeff.
Well, of course, but for those who were there, there was just something special about that night. It always is. And I think a lot of that had to do with the special guest of honor, Mr. Ed McCaffrey. Boy, he really took time to talk to these kids and answer their questions.
I was so impressed with the message he displayed. The laugh of the night became when he announced that he's better now known as Christian's father. And I did not realize this, but the very next day after our show was Christian McCaffrey's birthday.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it was on his Facebook page. So he really had a tight schedule, because from what I understand, he'd been at a different podcast that morning, did some kind of a coaches meeting, got on a plane in Denver, flew to Tucson, was picked up in Tucson by our staff, brought to Sierra Vista, attended our event, and then raced back to Denver to celebrate the birthday with his son.
Wow, that's a really crazy schedule.
But his message that night was very poignant. And the thing is that we're hearing, Jeff, from all these speakers, it's okay to play multiple sports.
It's an interesting reminder, because in my day, I just focused on the one. I mean, I tried to play several, but I couldn't. I was just good at football.
Well, my first year in high school, I played all three, but I was so beat up during basketball season. I learned, play the two sports you love. So that gave me basketball to recover if I had an injury, which most of the time I did. But at the same time, you know, he wants these kids to get the exposure to play other sports, to learn how to be a good teammate, to learn how to be a good leader, and most importantly, to learn how to be a good citizen. I was really impressed with the message he delivered that night. I had to laugh because our friend Owen Judd, he's now got footballs from James Lofton. He's now got footballs from Danny White. And now he can add Ed McCaffrey to his collection, too. So he's 3 for 3 on these guest speakers.
Right. Getting the chance to, during the Q&A segment, where we do open it up to the massive audience that was there. There was still a great crowd and a lot of fun. And then the kids coming up to ask questions of the 3-time Super Bowl champ, Ed McCaffrey, was pretty great.
It was an awesome evening.
Well, let's talk about some of the winners. Who were some of the big winners from the Best of Preps this year?
Let's start off with the team of the year. This was a very difficult decision because there was a lot of good teams. But in the end, we went with the Bisbee Puma baseball team. And the fact is that en route to the state championship, they knocked off 4 region champions. 3 of the 4 had been undefeated in their respective regions. You know, the other candidates were very deserving. But in our meeting, we all looked at the records and just select the winners, not always based on the overall team's overall record or the overall stats, is what they bring to the team or what they bring to the event. I was really pleased with our selection of the Bisbee Pumas. I thought with everything the community of Bisbee had gone through with the fire, that they helped elevate some enthusiasm, which we will be talking about a little bit more here just a little bit later in the show. But the Bisbee baseball team was the team of the year. And then this year we actually had co-coaches of the year. We had Jalen Hampton of Breen Academy and Todd Hammett of the Bisbee Pumas, which, again, 2 very deserving individuals, Jeff.
Well, knowing that they both produced state champions, there's no question.
Well, we lift off another state champion coach who was also an all-state coach, Matt Brogan, out of St. David, which is unfortunate. But, again, Jalen did this in his second year. Todd took a team that nobody expected to get to the state finals. Maybe the players and the coaches expected, but not really anybody else, and to get there. And I was laughing because one of my friends was telling me that after we announced Jalen Hampton as Coach of the Year, there was some rumblings in the audience saying, wait a second, what about Todd Hammett? And then our MC, Jeff Davenport, said, and now we got another one coming up for Coach of the Year, and that's when we announced Todd Hammett. And the mumbling has kind of subsided quickly.
Well, it's good to know that I can still work an audience.
Oh, I'll tell you, man. But it was a tough choice this year, selecting these winners. There were so many competitive and so many deserving individuals.
Well, and the teams as well. I think the Team of the Year was a tough choice. Let's talk about male and female athlete of the year.
Well, the male athlete of the year, I mean, this guy was a no-brainer in my opinion. He excelled in every sport he played. And I just saw him last week at a passing competition at Buena High School, and he's still zinging it. So we're talking about Sebastian Lopez of the Bisbee Pumas, 1,000-yard passer, 1,000-yard rusher, all-state performer in football. And then he got high basketball honors, and then he was an all-state performer in baseball. Plus, he was the relieving pitcher in the state championship game against Phoenix Christian.
Just really talking about how Ed McCaffrey said, in order to be a well-rounded individual, you need to play multiple sports. Sebastian certainly inhabits that philosophy.
Boy, does he ever. I kidded him. I said, you've done something now your sister hasn't done. He said, what's that? I said, you're athlete of the year for Cochise County. And he just started laughing. Because Gabby, she was a basketball player of the year, but she kept losing up to Maisie Thompson of Wilcox, who's gone on to have a stellar career at Pima this year. That's an accomplishment in itself. So, and then our female athlete of the year went to Mayla Trejo out of St. David. Very deserving. Again, all-state volleyball, all-state basketball. She also ran track for St. David High School as well. So, again, a four-sport if you count cheerleading. You know, again, it was just, and luckily Sebastian and Mayla were there to receive their awards, which we were happy with. And so it was just a very magical night. We also started something different this year, Jeff, where we decided instead of honoring one football player of the year, we were going to honor an offensive and defensive player of the year.
Which is a great call because it's most likely going to be an offensive player that ends up getting the award. So to be able to specifically have one for the defense is a great choice.
This was Jennifer's decision, and I think it was a wise one because, again, this young man that we honored, Jacob Whiteshot out of Tombstone, I didn't even know what a pancake block was until I started getting his stats for pancake blocks. And then I talked to his dad, and then I did some research. And a pancake block is when you're on defense and the other team's on offense. I mean, you're on offense and the other team's on defense, and you overpower your defensive lineman where you actually pancake him and open that hole for the back to get through. That's an offensive stat that goes in your favor. And I think he was number 2 in the state in pancake blocks. I was really happy that we went 2 awards this year. I think it was justifiable, and I think it's something that's going to continue because, again, like you said, the offense really steals the glory a lot of times.
Well, as it should. I mean, they're the ones that put up the points and keep the crowd going in these games, but it's nice to know that the defense is being recognized. So let's talk more about that category, offensive and defensive football players of the year.
Well, like I said, you know, Sebastian, I mean, he just, from day one, we knew it was going to be a great season for him. He really shined against Douglas. And but he was the first athlete in Cochise County to reach the 1,000 plateau mark this year. And then he was followed closely behind by DJ Elias and then Ivan Higuera from Douglas. And so, like I said, Sebastian, it was kind of a no-brainer. And Bisbee just finally got a new football coach, which we'll go ahead and plug now real fast.
Sure.
They had gone without a coach after Sean Hawley left. But they decided to go from within, which I'm glad they did. And they brought up a young man who's now the head coach of the team who actually played for the Pumas back in the 2000 era. He played for Truman Williamson. And I'm talking about Carlos Lopez, no relation to Sebastian Lopez, but Carlos Lopez was also the winning pitcher of the 2008 state championship baseball team. True Bisbeeite. Carlos, he wasn't a quarterback, he was a tight end, but he knows the game. And he has told me that they're going to rely on Sebastian's strengths this year. I'm excited. Like I said, I saw Bisbee play at the Buena 707 passing scrimmage last week.
And how'd they look?
They looked pretty darn good. They went 2-2. Carlos was just hired here the 1st of June. So they're way behind schedule, but they've been hitting the floor running. They were actually at a Buena scrimmage. They went to a Marenti scrimmage where they went 3-1 on Friday. Then Blaydon is hosting another 7-on-7 event this Wednesday, which Bisbee's going to go back to. So Carlos and the coaches, and a lot of the old coaches they had from last year are back. Bob Carnotto's back. Danny Escarcega's back. A lot of the same staff is back, and a lot of the same style of offense and defense they ran. So it's going to be a very interesting showdown. But real fast here to kind of deviate, and then I'll get back on track. Tombstone had been competing in some passing tournaments, and I had been following their moves through the passing tournaments. And the one name I wasn't seeing was DJ Elias, and I kept thinking, you know, what's going on here? Well, I knew DJ was getting close to turning 19, which is the cutoff age for high school athletics. And so I thought, I wonder if he hit the age limit and can't compete. So I get to Buena, and I'm walking onto the field, and there's DJ. And I'm thinking, okay. So I go up to him, and I said, so you are playing this year? He says, yeah. I said, where you been? He said, baseball tournaments. And I said, well, that makes sense. And so they were playing Berean Academy in a 7-on-7 scrimmage. He went to throw the ball to his receiver, who missed it, and I got nailed. And I'll tell you this, man, he had some pop in that ball, but that thing stung for a little bit, man. I didn't realize how hard he threw that thing until I was completely caught off guard and I got nailed.
Wait. You're standing on the sideline and you end up getting hit from an errant pass?
Yes. Well, he threw the ball and the receiver missed it and it came right at me. But I laughed. I didn't realize how hard he threw that thing. I told him, I said, dude. He said, I was just trying to get the ball to my receiver. So it was like, I can no wonder his receivers have so many drops during the games at times. He's got some zip on that ball, Jeff, and I'd like to assume what would happen had I been better prepared, but I was busy talking to some of the players and some of the coaches, and next thing I know, here comes this ball right at me, and it's like, oh, crap. So, you know, it got me, and it hurt a little bit, but I didn't rub it. I shook it off and kept going, and you know, but I just had to laugh because now I have a taste of the velocity he throws with.
He's got some pop on that thing,
he
huh?
He does. And Jacob Weichelt has gone on to play at Ottawa University on a football scholarship, and he's also going to wrestle. Sebastian's got a future. The question is, what's it going to be? Is it going to be football or is it going to be baseball? And he says he's not sure yet, but it's going to be one of those two sports. But I have no doubt, based on Sebastian and his athletic prowess, he's going to be successful at the next level. But this is a senior year. This is DJ's senior year. So this 2A San Pedro football region that we've got coming up, and believe it or not, Jeff, our first football game is August 23rd.
Oh, my goodness.
Less than 2 months, we're here. You know, it's going to be a very dynamite season for this 2A East, or this 2A San Pedro, because you got two stud quarterbacks that are going to be zinging it this year, and we'll see what happens here.
Amazing. Thinking about the best of preps and all the work that got put into it, what a magical night overall.
Yeah, it was. And like I said, these things are never easy. The weeks leading up to the event of the voting process, having to get the stories, trying to retrack down the coaches, some of which returned phone calls, some of them didn't. It was just a very tedious process. But in the end, looking back, I'm very happy that the Herald Review has been able to honor Cochise County's finest athletes. And this year, you know, we were able to honor some very quality teams and individuals. To me, the highlight of the show, Jeff, the entire night, it was the teams of the year, it was the athlete of the year, but it was also the inspirational stories.
Yeah, let's talk about those for a second. The Courage Award winner.
Yeah, we had two Courage Award winners this year. Parker Hooper, a Buena tennis player who's been battling an illness, but overcoming it, and then managing to play tennis successfully, mind you. And so very deserving of the award, but the one that I was really adamant about was when I first saw this athlete and I realized it wasn't a he, it was a she, and she was playing football on an all men's team, and then there was one game where she actually scored a touchdown and we were there. So I'm talking about Lillian Villalobos out of Berean Academy. She was the recipient of our Courage Award as well, in addition to Parker. And I thought, you know, these two athletes, they both exemplify what this award means. It takes courage to go out and compete against boys and get beat up.
Yeah.
And who was at the passing competition? Lillian.
Really? She's there. She's coming back again, huh?
Coming back again. I kidded her. I said, have you been able to recruit any more girls out yet? And she said, no, but she's working on it. And Jalen told me, he said, our goal this year is to double her stats.
Wow.
I mean, she only had one touchdown last year, so they're going to try to get her two. We'll see what she can do, but she'll be a junior this year. So, I mean, her time is coming up where she needs to step up and rise.
Well, it certainly sounds like she's going to be given the opportunity to do just that.
Well, it sounds like it, and I hope that's the case. But most importantly, too, you got to stay eligible and you got to stay injury-free.
Yes.
And that's always a tricky part in any kind of athletic event because, I mean, the slightest twist, the slightest turn can cause some damage somewhere along the lines. But anyway, it was a great evening. Really happy with the kids. Oh, and then the fan of the year. Who could deny John Escarcega, the guy from Tombstone?
Exactly.
Who donated his time to coaching the Tombstone youth. I thought that was a very deserving accolade and very deserving honor for the family and for John. And when John came on stage, you know, he asked me, he said, why'd you choose me? And I said, John, I said, it was a no-brainer. I said, you've done so much for Tombstone Athletics. When I attended your dedication ceremony, I said, I already had it in my mind that we were going to nominate you for the award. I just had to convince the committee that you were the worthy of the recipient of the award. And fortunately, the committee agreed with me, and we decided to go ahead and recognize John Escarcega. Looking fast here real fast, Vincent Shannon Frost, I might add, was our female track athlete of the year. Malachi Keller, a name that we all know, he was our boys track athlete of the year. Willow Prego of Benson was our cheerleader of the year. James Rice of Buena was our male athlete of the year for tennis. Mia Mangaro was our girls athlete of the year for tennis. Oh, and then the baseball and softball players of the year, Bryson Meyer, the junior from Bisbee, 12-1 as a pitcher, very deserving of the award. But then the softball player, this was another one that really stood out in my mind because from the very first time I saw her on the softball field, I was just impressed by her. And I'm talking about Tombstone freshman Bria Gross. I got to believe, Jeff, and I can't be 100% certain, but her dad posted on Facebook, to his knowledge, she's the first freshman ever to receive an award at the Best of Press event. I believe that is true.
Yeah, that would make perfect sense. I can't believe we didn't think of that before.
Yeah, I didn't either, but she was really deserving. And then, of course, for wrestling, we had Oren Alsup of Wilcox High School and Aisha General of Buena High School was the male and female wrestlers of the year. Bianca Gorky was a female golfer of the year. Jackson Drake of Buena High School was a male golfer of the year. Oh, and then Buena's Emma Donahue and Nick Heiser were the male and female cross-country athletes of the year this year as well. And then, of course, our volleyball player of the year was who else but Trejo. That's basically it in a nutshell, the awards that we honored that night. It's hard to believe that in 60 days I got to start keeping stats again.
Yeah, it all starts over again. But before we get there, Bruce, what else is going on in the world of Cochise County sports?
I want to bring us people up to date. We had Cochise College at the National Finals Rodeo June 10th through the 14th in Casper, Wyoming. Cochise College took 5 athletes back there. Tayton Erickson, Macy Fowley, Seeley Bottom, Aslan Brink, and Taylor Smith. We actually had 2 of our athletes get into the national final round, and that was Tayton Erickson and Macy Fowley. They were among the final 12 to compete Saturday for the national championships. I got to tell you, Jeff, it is such a thrill to be watching ESPN and see, here's Tayton Erickson, Cochise College, Douglas, Arizona, on national TV.
That's amazing.
Oh, it was awesome. Tayton had a rough go in the short go. He did fine in the first 3 rounds to get into the top 12. And in the short go, he had a beautiful run. And he goes down to tie the calf. And as soon as he ties his calf and looks back, you see that red flag popping up. He had broken the barrier. So his time went from a 12-1 to a 22.1 because that's a 10-second penalty. But he still, even with that, Jeff, finished 8th in the nation.
Wow.
So hats off to him. And Macy, she also finished 8th in the nation in the goat tie-in. She had a great start out of the chute. She was riding her horse down. She went to dismount, and she did a face plant.
Oh, no.
She still finished with 8 seconds and still finished 8th in the nation. Can you imagine how she had a clean run? So, I mean, it was really impressive for the Apache men and women. I applaud them both. Lynn Smith, the coach at Cochise College, has restocked this team with some quality athletes. I was talking with her after the CNFR, and they're ready to start practice now and get ready because they're that anxious to get started again because she knows this team is going to be better. And Seeley Bottom and Aslan Brink and Smith, who did not get into the national finals, they didn't perform badly, but that competition up there, there was over 400 cowboys and cowgirls at this thing, over 100 different schools represented. I mean, it was just a tough competition. So to have Cochise College represented with two top 10 finalists in their respective events, I thought was very pleasing.
Without a doubt. That's incredible.
And while that's going on, we also began All-Stars for District 8 this past weekend. We had our first official tournament, and we have our first champion, and then today we have more games. But this past Friday and Saturday, Douglas played San Pedro and Wilcox, a team that was combined to two teams, two different leagues to make one team for the District 8 softball juniors tournament. Douglas won game one on Friday, 8-6, and then they lost game two on Saturday, 14-8, forcing the third and final showdown. And in that third and final showdown, San Pedro was up 11-1, and they were cruising, and next thing you know, it's 11-9. Douglas put on a massive rally, and in the end, San Pedro ended up winning at 12-9. So San Pedro's our first District 8 champion, and again, this is junior softball, but what's so neat was four of those girls on the San Pedro team, I recognized their names, and that's what led me when I talked to the coach after the game was over. They were members of last year's Wilcox State Championship A team that went to San Bernardino, but because they aged out of majors, they now went to juniors, and because Wilcox did not have enough girls to complete a juniors team, District 8 allowed them to join forces with the next closest town, which happened to be Benson. So between the two teams, or the two cities, they performed one team, and now they're District 8 champions. And so the San Pedro team is a brand new squad of players. There's no returning players from last year's district championship team that finished second in the state. But those four girls from Wilcox that were state champions, that were regional participants, they used their experience to really help lead the San Pedro team. And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens with them when they go to state here. Believe it or not, July 5th in Tucson. We got games tonight in Benson. We got games tonight in Wilcox. And we got games tonight in Nogales. And this week, there's going to be games Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Jeff, in seven different cities around southern Arizona. And so we're having baseball tournaments. We have softball tournaments. And then Sierra Vista's hosting the big tournament next Monday, July 1st, in the majors tournament, which will be held at Stone Complex. And so they're going to run that tournament all next week through part of the following week. And then on July 15th, Sierra Vista's going to be hosting the state majors Little League tournament. And this is going to be an exciting tournament because the winner of this tournament will take off directly from Sierra Vista for San Bernardino, California, to compete in the Western Regionals. That winner is going to go to Williamsport. Sierra Vista took third last year at the majors tournament in Flagstaff. So it's going to be the 15th to the 27th at Stone Complex. They're going to use fields 1 and 2 for the first couple rounds of the tournament. And then once they get to a smaller field, they'll climb back or reduce down to field 1 at Stone. But I'm really looking forward to this because we're going to see some quality Little League baseball from these kids because, again, one of these teams could very well possibly be a World Series participant in Williamsport in a few weeks.
Isn't that amazing to think about that people here in Cochise County could be watching another team on ESPN?
Why not us? To quote Tombstone, why not us? It very well could be Sierra Vista. It very well could be Sierra Vista. It very well could be Nogales. And it very well could be Douglas. Nothing against the other teams, but I think those are the three stronger teams in this tournament. And so it's going to be a very interesting month of July. What's so unfortunate is when this state tournament's underway, my high school football teams are having their first official day of practice.
Oh, wow.
So once again, we're going to overlap. But it is what it is. It's the way the schedules were set up. So we just have to learn to adapt, adjust, and overcome. So I'm excited about this right now because, yeah, we're officially underway with All-Star season. And so now we got to schedule these games around the monsoons and hope that we don't get rained out. Nogales hosted a tournament on Saturday for his senior baseball, and the Douglas game was delayed 4 hours by monsoon weather. Ugh. And remember when they had the regional tournament, how that game with Hawaii or Alaska, one of those, was delayed numerous hours as well, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was there.
So I don't know. With Mother Nature, I mean, but we're so dang dry right now that I was pleasantly surprised when I got up this morning and I still had puddles in my front yard from yesterday's rain. It was like, well, I guess we got more rain than I thought, but we still have puddles because I just thought it would go straight into the soil. So we'll see what happens here. So anyway, but two more things I want to plug real fast before we end today's show. This Saturday, June 29th, Wayne High School football is hosting a free youth football camp. It is sponsored by the Longhorn Restaurant and Joe Thomas. And the camp is going to run from 9 to 11 at Keith Hampton Memorial Field. And we're going to have a complete story with all the contact information in the Wednesday edition of the Herald Review Sports page, where you can contact Coach Joe Thomas. You can stop by practice to pick up a waiver. And the first 100 kids that show up are going to get a free T-shirt. We covered this event last year. We're going to cover it again this year. It draws a lot of kids in the area. And it's so neat to see the Blaine coaches and players interacting with the local youth.
Yeah, it's such a great opportunity for these young athletes to have such quality training from the Buena High School coaches, players, and staff.
You know, hats off to Joe for doing it with these players. And plus, we're probably going to see some future Colts, future Eagles, maybe some future Bulldogs, maybe future Yellow Jackets out there. We just don't know who all is going to show up. But they always seem to draw good numbers. But they had it at Sear Field last year. But this year, they were able to bring it over to Hampton Field, which I think is better because the field is bigger. And they can actually accommodate more kids, as we found out with the passing competition. So we're looking forward to that. But before we wind up the show today, I want to shout out one more time here. We got a very big event coming up on July 4th, and I'm talking about the Coaster Races. This past Saturday, I was in Bisbee at 6 a.m., Jeff, for the Coaster Race time trials. And because of the fire in downtown Bisbee, the location has been changed this year, so they're not racing down the hills of Old Bisbee. They're actually starting on top of Cole Street and Arizona Avenue, and they're going to race down the Warren Cutoff. I interviewed Bridget Cruz, the organizer from the race. We're going to have a complete story with pictures. But I got to tell you, Jeff, that one of the coasters that we were shooting Saturday was clocked at doing 47 miles an hour.
Whoa!
That's flying. And it was an aerodynamic, sleek coaster that we shot last year when he came down the streets of Old Bisbee. This guy was hauling, and when he went by me, I was like, you could tell he was cutting a good clip. And how they managed his speed, I don't know. But when he got on the top of the hill, because they had to record the time, the miles per hour, they had him registered at 47.
Whew.
So the slowest one was 31. The fastest one was 47. These carts do have levers for guiding, for steering, and they have brakes. But the location is going to make it challenging this year for viewers because it is going to be down the road of Old Warren Cutoff, which is not really viewer-friendly. They're not really happy with limiting viewer spectatorship, but there's no choice they can do because it's really the only place they can have it. So we're going to get the word out. They're expecting a capacity crowd again. So, folks, if you're going to go to the Coastal Races, pack your patience. You're going to need it because parking is going to be bad. I had to park at the pit last year just to walk into Old Bisbee. But that's going to begin at 8 a.m. on Thursday, July 4th. So we're going to have a complete story with pictures in the Sunday edition of the Herald Review Sports page. And then, of course, we'll be there on the 4th of July for that. So we're in summertime, and it's supposed to be slowing down, Jeff, but I beg to differ. It's not slowing down.
There's enough activities to keep us going through the football season as it gets started in, like you said, 2 months from right now. That is ridiculous.
Well, we're going to have scrimmages here mid-August. And like I said, teams are going to begin practice the last week in July, early part of August, depending on who they are. So real fast here. Before we enter the show today, I did some research. Okay, the first football game for Benson is August 23rd at Shadow Mountain. Bisbee's going to kick off August 30th at Madison Highland. The big Bisbee-Douglas game is going to be on September 6th in Bisbee this year. Blaine is going to kick off its season August 30th at Betty Fairfax. Douglas is going to kick off its season August 30th at American Leadership Academy Ironwood. Tombstone is going to kick off its season August 29th at Heritage Academy. Wilcox is going to begin its season, as is St. David, August 23rd at Arizona Lutheran for Wilcox, Cicero Prep for St. David. And Valley Union is going to begin its season August 30th versus Desert Heights. Marine kicks off its season August 29th at home against Heritage Academy of Mesa.
So they will be playing on Thursdays again.
You know, when I was talking to Jalen, he said, yeah, he thought they were going to be playing the same night that they played last year. So we'll find out for sure. But anyway, we still got some time to torque out these deals. So we're going to see just how, you know, if Marine can go undefeated 2 years in a row or they're going to have a bigger target on their back. Plus, they did lose some quality players, Jeff. But, yeah, August 23rd for Shadow Mountain, for Benson. and for Wilcox and St. David. So three out of my nine teams, a third of my teams kick off August 23rd.
Less than 2 months from right now. And Bruce, we're so grateful for all the coverage that you give us all seasons long, including this summer season, this busy summer season here. And we're so grateful for you calling in today and getting that done, catching us up on everything.
Jeff, I want to wish you and our listeners a happy 4th of July. Stay safe, and we'll see you guys after the 1st of September.
Oh, can't wait for it. Thank you so much, Bruce. And you can keep in touch with everything going on in the best of preps all across Cochise County when you stay locked in with the Herald Review Media in print, online at myheraldreview.com and on the Herald Review Media social media channels. As always, even during this summer season, there are opportunities to support our local athletes, and if you are able to do that in your neck of the woods, we encourage you to do so because it means the world to these young student athletes to have their community support. From the Cochise Broadcasting Studios of KKYZ 101.7 FM, the oldies station in Sierra Vista, Arizona, and the all-new Mix 96.9 FM, Cochise County's best mix. On behalf of the Herald Review Media sports editor Bruce Whetton, my name is Jeff Davenport, and I'm wishing you a wonderful rest of your day. And now we'll send it back for the rest of today's Daily Chirp.
Thanks for listening. Before we continue, a quick message from our sponsors, Ace Hardware.
Hi, this is Les from Sierra Vista Ace. This is a great time to paint. Ace Stocks, Clark & Kensington, Valspar, Dunn Edwards, and our own Ace Royal Paint in interior and exterior finishes. We can computer match other brands and colors too. All the colors you can imagine, even one named Sierra Vista. Decide on the wall or room to paint, bring in a color idea, and let Ace mix your paint. Treat yourself to a new brush and roller too. Save gas, save time, shop Ace first. Sierra Vista Ace since 1981 on the corner of Fry and Highway 92.
Next, an event that you should know about. This Thursday at 6 p.m., head over to Tell Mama for Talkie Thursday, a film screening featuring games, prizes, concessions, and specialty cocktails. This time, they'll be showing the original 1960 version of Little Shop of Horrors, a story about a clumsy young man working at a flower shop who discovers one of his plants has an insatiable appetite for blood. Popcorn is included with your ticket. Finally, we'd like to remember the life of Pat Bach. Pat was born in Marshlands, Pennsylvania in 1935. A beloved wife, mother, grandmother, and friend, Pat's warmth and compassion touched many lives. She graduated from Gaines High School in 1953 and attended Lycoming Community College. Pat worked as a switchboard operator and later in retail, excelling as a retail manager in Sierra Vista until her retirement in 2003. She is survived by her husband, Donald, daughter, and numerous grandchildren and stepfamily members. Thank you for taking a moment to celebrate and remember Pat's life. Thanks for tuning in to the Herald Review podcast today. And remember, the Herald Review is here for you with local news you can trust. Subscribe today for unlimited access to all of our content for just $14 per month. This is less than the cost of 1 hour of one reporter's work on a single story. Also, want to stay up to date on what's going on? Join Neighbor, your trusted neighborhood community. Neighbor is a free online forum you can trust to connect with your community, focus on facts, and make a difference. Join the conversation. Visit nabur.myheraldreview.com.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, especially in Cochise County. Become part of the hyperlocal conversation on Cochise County's exclusive social media platform, Neighbor. That's N-A-B-U-R. Your neighbors are striking up meaningful conversations, sharing exquisite Cochise County photos, and respecting each other's views without any other social media noise. No unwanted advertising and only respectful conversations on hot community topics. That's right. Our journalism project manager can set the record straight and help answer any pressing questions about the happenings in our community. Join the conversation at myheraldreview.com/NABUR.